Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're in. Welcome, dear viewer, dear listener. Random Access Memories, a retro gaming podcast with me, Ian Lee. Every week, I ask my guest to bring in a retro game. I never define what that retro game is. Mm-hmm. I never define what retro means. I just let them bring it. This week, it's DJ Slopes. Do I call you Daniel? Do I call you Slopes? What do I do?
You know, everyone asks. You call me whatever you want, within reason.
Now, you're a YouTuber.
Yes.
Your channel, man, is fantastic. We met in Blackpool last year, doing this weird thing where we were on stage doing some sort of quiz or something. It was very peculiar.
Yeah. It was, who was that? It was Jason Bradbury, wasn't it, from the Gadget Show?
Yeah. And what was the young woman's name?
Trista Bytes.
That's right.
A couple of good eggs there. Yeah. No,
basically, very, very lovely people. I enjoyed them a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. So we was part of like some retro quiz, and then they were doing there was one part where they had lots of movie posters that they mixed up or something like that, or game posters they mixed up, wasn't there? And then there was the music round where we remixed loads of like 80s songs. Yeah, we had to work out what they were.
I seem to remember doing terribly on there, but that's okay. I've done terribly on many, many quizzes, so I'm cool with that.
Did we not win? I can't remember.
I don't think we did. I thought we'd lost. So we were on the same team and we got chatting. We were up on stage for half an hour and
constantly getting told to stop chatting as well, if I remember correctly.
We were getting told off for chatting. And you were telling me about your YouTube channel.
Yes.
And I went home the next day and I looked up your YouTube channel and I was hooked, man. I was hooked.
Cheers, man.
I went for the kick scammer. Section. Tell people about your channel because it is worth checking out. Cool.
So there's essentially two sides to my channel. I've got the retro gaming history stuff, like documentaries based on classic gaming franchises. So I'll take something like Golden Axe, Streets of Rage. I'm a big Sega fan, so a lot of them are Sega based. I've got about 100 of those roughly, and I'll look into the entire history and make like the best possible documentary content that I can make based on that particular franchise. So you got that side of my channel. And then on the other side, I'm really obsessed with Kickstarter and Indiegogo and different crowdfunding websites. And then I try and find the scams based on those crowdfunding. And there is a lot. There is a hell of a lot. There's a crazy amount on there.
Do you ever get, and your videos are great. It's not just there's this scam and it's a dodgeball. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of research. There's a lot of editing. We'll talk about the editing in a bit, but you do a lot of research. Have you ever had any kickback from any of the scammers? Have any of them got in touch and said, back off?
Yeah, I've had a few. Let me think. So the big ones that I can remember is, so I actually spoke to someone. Okay, which one will I go with? Okay, so there was one that I did where basically I went in a bit harsh. It was my earlier days and maybe I didn't really know what I was doing as much. But I think the title of the video, it's still there. You can go and find it. It was like, the Kickstarter scum that ran away with your money seven times so far, or something to that effect. Wow. I think it was called. Or scammer, maybe I said the Kickstarter scammer, not a scum. Yeah, but either way, yeah, this guy, and he was a bit of a Hollywood, an elite Hollywood extra. So he was an extra in a lot of movies, and I'm talking like Fast and Furious franchise movies, the Oceans movies, and all these like big like Walking Dead. I think that was his biggest claim to fame. I think he was the guy that held the infamous baseball bat before it got handed over to the main guy. So that was like one of his bigger roles. He would do a project, it would fail. And then he would do another project and try and earn a bit extra on that one so he could do the next one and then use the money for the following one. And he would do it again and again. And he just got so out of control. So I did this big expose on him. And I went up, and I remember it was like the earlier days of my channel. I was like saying to my wife, who was helping me with the research at that point, and I said to her, like, I wonder if this guy will ever actually see this video. Am I like at that stage yet? Like where I'm that amount of notoriety, you know? And then the next day, or like 12 hours or something like that, I got a Patreon from him. He signed up to my Patreon.
Oh, wow.
And I was sitting there like, well, this is weird. Like, I don't know what to do about this. I mean, there's nothing hidden on the Patreon. Yeah. Like, that video is now live. He can see my future videos if he wants. Well, he probably won't want to. And then I was thinking to myself, hey, if he wants to pay me like a pound or a dollar, I think it was back then, let him. And then I was thinking, no, actually, you know, I probably should give him his money back, because I'm actually now taking money from someone I've just said
is
stealing money from people and not delivering the products. So I said, look, hey, you want to chat about this? I sent him a message. You want to do a little interview and get your side? He never replied. I refunded the money, and that was that.
How funny.
Yeah, really bizarre. And it was him, because it was from, like, his website was like the name of his email, you know.
We are recording this in March 2024, and two or three weeks ago, the whole internet was alive with the infamous Willy Wonka experience scam. I am a huge fan, DJ Slopes, of those. Every Christmas, you'll get this Winter Wonderland scam where it's like 40 quid a ticket, and you go in and it's like foam on the floor, and it's you know, a bored elf.
Have you ever been along to any of them before?
I haven't. No. I haven't. I'd love to. Have you?
I went to one, but it wasn't a scam.
Right.
And the reason why is probably because it cost a stupid amount of money. Like, we're talking a holiday's worth of money on 4 hours or something, you know. It was ridiculous. Called Lapland. It was very, very good. Very, very good. Cover your ears, children that are listening. But the amount of effort they went to make this Santa real for the kids was totally worth it. But that was like hundreds and hundreds, almost £1,000. And
what, to go and see it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So there's a thing called Lapland, and it costs a stupid amount of money. And we actually went in an earlier part of the year, like as in like, was it late November? I think if you went like near Christmas Day, it was stupid money.
Yeah.
Even more so. But then they keep getting you with the extras. It's like, do you want to get some elfish coins?
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, okay, which is basically old Disney funny money, you know, like the Disney bucks.
The one, the thing of those that get me is, would you like a picture? Yeah, sure. It's just £65. Can you take one with my phone? No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was all there. That was all there. But they did, but the effort they went to was next level. It was incredible. But I did have to, no, you can't have that. And I didn't want to be that guy in... They, my kids genuinely believe we had somehow gone into a woods and been transported to a real Lapland.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be too Scrooge about it, but I did have to like tie the person. What, you want a £15 hot chocolate? Yeah, yeah, go and ask the elf lady.
The Wonka video you've made, it was one of, there were quite a few little shorter ones that were jumping on the bandwagon because clearly it was good, you know, it was in the zeitgeist. Action, it was going to be a hit. Yeah. But yours was really well researched. You were speaking to some of the people that were there. I think you spoke to both Wonkas.
There was three Wonkas, and I spoke to two. Didn't want to have their name attached.
How fun! Well, you spoke to two Wonkas. Yeah. But what I found really interesting was you did all the research on the dude that set it up, and you had old videos that you'd used the Wayback Machine. You'd looked into previous companies, into he'd written these get rich quick books. It was all AI'd, but you dug into his background. How difficult was that for you to do that?
It is difficult, and a lot of pieces had to fall into place for me to be able to get it to actually all just work. Is if certain things didn't happen, a lot of it would have had to have been hearsay.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a section I had to take out because it got to a point, well, I read this thing on Reddit, which has now been removed, so you've got to just take my word for it. I don't want to add that sort of stuff into the video.
Yeah.
This one, I remember I was like, so apparently he set up this this Hilton Hotel scam in a previous life, where basically he said he had all these famous people DJing. None of these people were booked. The hotel wasn't booked. And I was like, you know what? I wonder if I could ring the hotel and just ask them straight out. Has this person ever done an event with you under his name or the company's name or the charity's name? All these different things. So I can just really cover it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're probably going to just say no. They're probably not going to give me that information. They really shouldn't be giving me that information.
Yeah.
And they just instantly did. I was like, yes. You know, there's a lot of things like that in previous Kickscammer videos, you don't really get that lucky. But with this one, all the pieces fell into place. I was so tired. I was up to like 5 in the morning on that video getting it done.
You got it out quick, but it didn't suffer from it. I have a friend who is an award-winning journalist, like proper. And I sent it to her and she came back and went, oh, that's good. That is good. You know, it was, you put the work in and it showed.
And Channel 5 are making a documentary about it now.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, there'll be a Netflix drama about it. It's fascinating. Yeah. Can I ask, and I'm wondering how I phrase this, YouTube is for kids and young people. And you're significantly younger than me, I suspect. But compared to a lot of the other YouTubers out there that my kids watch, you know, you're a little bit older than that. How long have you been doing the YouTube and why did you get into it?
So I've been like, I reckon I've been doing it for about 8 years, something around that mark, and properly full time for about 4, maybe 5 years, something like that. That sounds about right. Cause I did about 4 to 5 years of doing it as a part-time thing in the evenings.
Right.
You know, just as a hobby. I'm, if you ever look at one of my scripts, they're almost unreadable. Like my grammatical way I write and everything else is just horrific. And yet if you look at that, I always wanted to get into like video game journalism and stuff like that, but I just haven't got that set of skills. I did video editing with my video DJing. I used to be on telly, on Channel 5, actually. So I got quite good at presenting in that way. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to put all these things together. You know, take what I'm not good at, but use it in a way that I can actually do something that's good, like with me being on camera.
Yeah.
And that's how it all came about. So
do you do it all yourself? Because I know that the YouTubers my kids watch, they have massive teams. They have editors, they have help with the scripts, they have, you know, multiple cameramen. You're doing everything.
Yeah, so about 600, I don't know how many videos I've got, around 600, 700 videos maybe. I reckon about 10 to 15 of them I've had help with maybe not that many, but yeah, I've had help with like editing or scripting, but practically everything is mine. Like I say, everything's mine. Like for instance, the Wonka video, I was speaking to a good friend of mine called Andrew, who's an admin on my Discord. He was helping me find some of the evidence on that as well. Yeah. Look at this, what I've found, you know, and things like that did get made into the video. So yeah, I do have help in regards to, you know, people come to me with suggestions and stuff, but all the editing's mine, video recordings, me. It's 99% me.
Do you find it stressful? We had on this show, I had a guy called Elliot Cole who does the Retro Future. It's a great channel.
Yeah.
And he was saying it's tough. He's sometimes nervous about taking a break from doing it in case he loses followers and loses viewers. Is it stressful?
Oh, yeah. And Elliot is a quality guy. I chatted to him for about an hour the other day on the phone, actually.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. No, it is stressful. He actually gave me some advice that I need to try and find a quicker way of editing. Try and make a video in about 6 to 12 hours. And like the quickest video I can get out takes me 3 to 4 days.
Right, right.
And they're like full 8, 12 hour days. So yeah, it's a very stressful thing. But as stressful as it is, it's like the most fun I've ever had in a job, you know.
Yeah.
It's my own thing. I've created this.
Yeah. So, going full time.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Scary.
Yeah,
very scary, because I mean, it worked out quite lucky. I'm going to talk about money here, but I always made what I wanted to make video wise, you know, whether it be Kickscammers or the video game history stuff. And I just made sure that the worst month I've ever had would be the baseline of what I would earn in my 9 to 5, which I didn't get paid a lot, but that was my aim.
Yeah.
That was the idea. And we were waiting to move house, and we moved into this brand new house, and it was the day I quit my job as well. Do you see any changes in your future coming? Like, no, I'm definitely going to get 2 wages for the rest of my life. And it instantly quit. And then I went into this house and I instantly uploaded the Vega Plus video, which is another one of my most popular videos ever.
Yeah.
In fact, I got a Kickstarter from that the other day. Here we go. I got the Vega Plus box. I just
need
to put into it now.
This was the handheld Spectrum that was being touted and touted. I think, is it still being touted as a possibility, or has that one gone away?
No, it's not happening. But there are, as always, is the
that
case.
That box
with
is great.
Like this. Oh,
yeah.
It's beautiful. It's really nice.
That's gorgeous.
It's a super limited thing. Like the ones that did get sent out now are like, they're for the most part broken, don't work. They ended up coming in literally a shoebox, rattling around. And then there's a hardcore group of fans that obviously big Spectrum fans and love this thing for the history of it.
Yeah.
And they created a Kickstarter for this box. And here it is. But no, I released that video and it was the first time I'd ever got backlash properly off of a kick scammer video.
Right.
And I was getting takedown requests. I was getting all of these things happen. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so, and that just adds to me being so, so scared. Luckily I grew a bone, a backbone. And
I'm glad you said backbone. Yes.
Yeah. A backbone. And just like, you know what, let's just see what happens. And I released it. And that's, added to me being very scared going full time.
Yeah. What did you do on Channel 5?
I had my own TV show, me and a group of like 4 or 5 lads. We was essentially a family-friendly Jackass.
Oh.
It was just basically a bunch of lads being stupid, getting drunk, doing silly things. And it did okay. And I always bring this up with Jason Bradbury, the host of The Gadget Show. He didn't know about this, but we was in fights with The Gadget Show for that time slot. And they got the time slot and we got what was believed to be the better time slot, or at least that's how it was sold to us.
In actual
fact, we was on the same time as Coronation Street and killed us.
What was it called?
Human Guinea Pigs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They North One Productions, the company that made it for Channel 5, actually uploaded them recently in their unedited form on their YouTube channel.
Oh, mate. Well, that's where I'm going straight after this.
It's embarrassing stuff. I've got like big long hair. And all this sort of stuff. Yeah, it's about, I don't know now, maybe 20 years old, something like that.
My entire life is on YouTube. So, yeah, I get the embarrassment with the hair and the looks and all of that
stuff. Yeah, sure.
We should probably talk about the game that you've brought.
Yeah,
what game have you chosen as your retro game for today?
It's such an obvious one. I was going to be cool and choose something a bit niche, but I can't deny it. This is generally my all-time favourite game. Plus Sonic 3, which is also...
So you're holding up Sonic and Knuckles on the Mega Drive.
And Sonic 3.
I like that you've gone popular, because it is very tempting to show how cool we are, because I know this obscure game. But and those games are great, and we've had those brought along, but it's okay to have something big and popular. Why Sonic and Knuckles?
It just, like, I was a massive fan of Sonic the Hedgehog. I was a serious mummy's boy. Like, I nothing was better than my Amstrad. Even when someone showed me an NES, like, it's not as good as my Amstrad. Like, I convinced myself that my terrible Amstrad games were better than Super Mario Brothers. And
what Amstrad? A CPC 464?
That was exactly it. And Color Monitor as well.
You got the Color Monitor. Well done, yeah.
And I always convinced myself until I went to a fun Halloween fireworks night held by Invicta FM, if you remember them.
I do remember Invicta FM, yes.
And they had a Sega bus. I was like, I didn't even know what it was. I was like, yeah, go on, I'll go check that out. Saw Moonwalker downstairs, which I quite liked, a bit of Chuck Rock. And then I went upstairs and played Sonic the Hedgehog, and I was just like, this is the best thing I've ever played.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best version of those classic games, Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
How old were you?
I'm trying to think where I was living at the time, maybe 8.
Oh, God, you're a baby then. I go back to my earlier comment and apologise for saying that perhaps you're a bit older than some of the YouTubers.
I'm 40. I'm 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still a baby.
I'm 40 now. Yeah.
Okay, so you see that.
Mm.
What happened? What was it? What happened in your brain? What was it
well,
like?
It's just like you see, you try and play a platformer, and this is not a bash against like Amstrad CPC platformers. You know, I had a lot of fun with, you know, Jack the Nippers and, you know, stuff like that. But they're all very static, and you know, the screen would just like next screen, you know. And I'd convince myself this was better, but now I'm playing this Sonic the Hedgehog, and I'm like picking up momentum, and I'm spinning around, and I'm jumping on things, and the music is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is unreal good. Like, this is so good. And I think it was like the first time, because I was such a mummy's kid. Like, I don't mind admitting it, but like, I remember when they came in, I was like, this is the best game I've ever played. Like, this is so good.
Yeah.
And then I went, that Christmas, I got the Mega Drive for Christmas with Sonic 1, 2, Streets of Rage, another classic, and Fantasia, not so much. Mm. Yeah, and I played them, and I was just like, they were so, so good. And every time a new Sonic game came out, I played them, for better or worse. Like Sonic Spinball, I didn't enjoy that too much. But when I got Sonic 3 and then eventually Sonic and Knuckles, I'll never forget that moment. I know there's a bit of nostalgia there that's helping me choose that game, but it still is a solid game that I will complete pretty much every year or every other year to this day.
Okay, so you're going back and playing it then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I kick myself for not buying the Japanese version of Sonic and Knuckles, because I need to get that in my collection. It's genuinely my favorite game. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of the Sonic films?
I mean, they're okay. They're fine. I loved taking my son, who was about the same age as I was when I got into Sonic, to go and see it. But it's a different world now, Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, like the 3D Sonic games, they're fine for what they are.
I enjoyed the film, and I took my boys, and we had a blast. I thought the both of them, I thought, were great. I thought Jim Carrey was great. I thought
I love Jim Carrey.
Can't remember the guy who hangs out with Sonic.
Matthew Madsen, is it? Sonic Madsen?
It's something like that. Did you ever see he was in a TV series called Jury Duty?
Yes, it was from the people that created The Office, the American Office.
If you've not seen it, dear listener, go and check it out. It's basically, it's...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a trick where they get this guy to think he's on real jury duty and everyone else is an actor. Mm. This Sonic guy, it's not Matthew, is it?
No, it's not. It's James Marsden.
You were close.
It's not the guy I was saying. It was actually one of the gangsters, wasn't he, in like Reservoir Dogs?
Yes, it's not him. But yeah, this guy's in it and playing himself, and it's just a beautiful show.
Yeah, I love the cameos and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. Like they're not going to ever make a movie that's hardcore for the fans, it just will not appeal to the masses. It would go too far that way, you know. Like, so I appreciate it. Like, we as a family all enjoyed it. Like, my wife's not really a gamer, but she had a lot of fun with it as well. So yeah, I appreciate it for what it was.
Sonic is weird. It's one of those characters and franchises where I would suggest, and you might correct me, they've muffed it up more times than they've got it right. They've made some terrible Sonic games.
It's insane how like loved he is, because unfortunately, even with me being a big fan, like there's more bad games than there are good, unfortunately.
And you can see why they keep putting them out, because it's a huge character for Sega. Yeah. And there was that Sonic Mario rivalry. Whereas Mario, most of the Mario games are excellent and a progression from where they were. Sonic, they just keep muffing it up. And I wonder if they've kind of lost the spirit of what those first few Sonic games were. We'd never seen anything that fast on a video game before.
Oh, and it was so iconic that everyone tried to copy it back in the day, and obviously you got games like your Bubsies and stuff like that, but no one could really pull it off as well as what Sonic could. You know, Zool to an effect as well. All great characters, kind of, but like Sonic the Hedgehog was next level. It was a lightning in the bottle moment, because even when it was originally made, it wasn't supposed to be the game it eventually become. There was like, you were supposed to chase a girl called Madonna, the Japanese wanted to, and it was all going to be like he was going to be in a band and all this other stuff. And America got out of it, no, we need to make this character more hip and cool and 90s, you know, radical. So they Americanized it a little bit, and what we ended up getting was a bit of Japan, a bit of America put into one, and that's what made it so great. It's just it was so the way they felt was just so perfect, that original trilogy plus CD. And they've only ever really done that again with Sonic Mania, and that was when the fans got hold of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Those early games, what is great? Here's something that some retro people won't admit. Some of the old games are rubbish. You know, they either were rubbish at the time, or they don't stand the test of time. And, you know, what we remember is being brilliant. We go back and go, oh, that's not really that good. But the early Sonic games, they totally stand the test of time.
Oh, they do, yeah. You're completely right. Even super iconic games, and I'm going to get a lot of hate for saying this, but super iconic games, let's look at, like, the fighting series. Streets of Rage holds up. Golden Axe, Final Fight, not so much. They're games you need to learn the flaws to enjoy how good the game is.
Right.
Like, you pick up something like a Sonic the Hedgehog or a Streets of Rage, you can instantly play that and get better rather than play it, realize how you've messed up because the game is designed in a way that's a bit flawed, and then having to go back and work out how to overcome those flaws. You're completely right. A lot of games aren't as good as people remember them.
And I think some of the games that stand the test of time are the simplicity. Sonic's a very, very simple game, and you're right, as soon as you're into it, you know exactly what you have to do. It's you're straight in. One of my favorites, and I think it's becoming my favorite game of all time, is Pac-Man, because it still looks beautiful, it looks absolutely stunning, and it's really simple. You've got one stick, there's no buttons, there's nothing, you've got no weapons, you've got one stick, and as soon as you see it, you know what you have to do. And my kids, we go to those, you know, those retro arcades where you pay like $10 or whatever, and you got all the machines for free. We go to that, and my kids, they love playing Donkey Kong, and they like watching me play Pac-Man, because I can get, on a good day, I can get to like the third or fourth screen, which is not great in the great scheme of things. But to them, it's like, oh my God, you're so good at Pac-Man. It's one of the few times I'm still cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot to be said. You know, you watch someone play like a Tony Hawk's or an SSX type game, and the fingers are going crazy on the control pad. And if you're someone looking in that doesn't know how to play those games, you're like, this is crazy. Like, I don't know how you're doing these things. Whereas you see someone playing Galaxian or Pac-Man or Space Invaders or something really true and good and classic.
Yeah.
Once you die, they want to have their go, because, oh, let me see, I can see what you've got to do here.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an instant pick up and play replayability about those classic games.
I've said on it before, I had quite a big gap in my gaming. The BBC Micro was kind of my last thing. I went away. I did play a little bit of Sonic a few times, but I didn't really get back into gaming until I saw Wipeout on the Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
That's
kind of me as well, a little bit.
Well, I was going to ask, were you a gamer the whole time? Did you take a break for a while?
I did take a break. I got obsessed with DJing to the point where it was just my life was DJing.
Yeah.
However, it was around 96, 97 when that happened. And I was obsessed with electronic music, like the trance music that was really big in the UK at the time. And the one game that I would just constantly play, or the one game franchise I would constantly play, is Wipeout.
Yeah.
I was absolutely obsessed with it. I was part of that PlayStation generation. I jumped away from the Saturn. I'd moved over to the PlayStation after. We used to have this guy come round, he was the guy that built me my PC. And he said, check out this PlayStation. I was like, this is insane. Like, the jump from the 16 bits, the Super Nintendos, the Mega Drives, to the PlayStation and Saturn era was mind-blowing. That was literally 2D to 3D, like, and done well. I know they had attempts at that with Virtua Racing and stuff, but nothing like the PlayStation.
And again, Wipeout, we talk about the speed of Sonic. Wipeout was so fast. It was fast.
And you got that techno music bumping out in the background. The first CD soundtrack I ever... I've got my headphones on.
Don't strangle yourself.
I ever purchased was... is it not? It's not here. You know why it's not here? It's because it's in the car. Wipeout 2097. First CD video game soundtrack I ever bought was Wipeout 2097. It's just like the music pumping with that fast, like learning all of the route. I was obsessed.
I was playing some Wipeout on my PS5 yesterday, it's just beautiful, and it's you know, it's one of those things. If I don't play it for a while, I'm terrible at it. But excuse me, after give me half an hour, I'm in it, man. I'm in the zone. I remember playing Wipeout so much when I finally bought a PlayStation. I spent like weeks weighing up PlayStation Saturn because I've always got it wrong. I was Betamax back in the day. You know, I always picked the wrong side, and I did come down on PlayStation. But I remember playing it so much, it was burnt onto my retina, and I would close my eyes and I would see Wipeout playing in my head.
I used to all the time. It was literally the only thing I played for about a year and a half, 2 years, except for the odd time I'd go around a friend's house and have a GoldenEye competition or whatever.
Yeah.
Because all my friends were Nintendo enthusiasts and that was all they were about. But for me, it was like, PlayStation and Sega. Couldn't get enough.
I can see, because we're doing this on Zoom, I can see behind you, I can see probably 500 video games behind you, something
like that.
Yeah,
there's quite a few behind there, yeah.
Do you still play?
I still play. It's good. You know, I've got a son that's into more modern games, more typical, you know, your Fortnites and your Minecrafts and stuff. But where I get sent a lot of like those classic retro games, it's similar to what your kids have got as well.
Yeah.
Like, my son is actually really good at Pac-Man. You know, I always get asked that question, what games are you going to introduce to your kids? I'm like, well, I'm going to let them play what they want to play, but I'll also play a bit of like Streets of Rage or, you know... he's actually really good at Dig Dug. He's probably better than me at Dig Dug.
Yeah.
You know,
my boys, they're 14 and 12 and they are so into Fortnite. And what's interesting about Fortnite is they've been playing it for years and they'll go off and play something else for a while. Valorant was really big, which is a similar kind of thing. And Roblox a little bit, Minecraft a little bit, but they always go back to Fortnite and it's so easy to slag Fortnite off. It's an amazing game.
Yeah.
And I was playing with my eldest the other day and he invited me because he knows I'm rubbish and he wanted to laugh at me. I'm fine with that. Fortnite is an incredible game and there's a reason it's been so successful for so long. It's wonderfully made and it's a lot of fun.
Mm. Oh, it's the same. You look at something like the early days of Quake and Doom and LAN parties. It's that kind of vibe. But they've managed to get that community spirit of, like, you know, constantly fighting your friends, being the last one standing, and modernized it and commercialized it, which I know is probably the reason why a lot of people that are into those games don't like Fortnite. But again, I tell you what, like, as much as you slag off people do slag off Minecraft and Fortnite, if I was a kid in this day and age, I'd be all about it.
Yeah.
You know, people talking about how great, you know, this character is now that they're in Super Smash Brothers. If people don't know the amount of characters that are in Fortnite, it's like the greatest crossover of all time.
Yeah.
Every so often, my son will come in and he'll be like, "Dad, who's Ash Williams?" I'm like, "What? you're not having Evil Dead characters, mate. No, you're not."
I had, "Dad, who's Eminem?" Because he did a concert a little while ago. And those events, you still get millions of people tuning in for them.
I watched that particular event with my son. I was like, this is a new level of gaming now. This is so beyond what I grew up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. But then yesterday, my 14-year-old was going, "Have you heard of a game called Rainbow Six Siege?" And that was a game I was obsessed with, partly because you could team kill. And I'm a big fan of the team kill now and then. And so now, last night, I bought him Rainbow Six Siege, and he's playing that. And he also recommended this game to me called Iron Lung, which is where it's basically a maths game. You're in a submarine, but you can't see anything and you've got to use the coordinates to navigate to certain places. And it looks like an 8-bit video game.
Right.
And it's interesting seeing them going off and discovering some of the older stuff or stuff that looks like it's older.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up now myself, actually. I'm going to check that one out, Iron Man.
I was playing it on my Steam Deck, but I couldn't save it. It's great, but it's really hard. It's a maths puzzle disguised as a submarine underwater, so you're under blood kind of thing. So how do you find... Going back to the kick scammers thing, this is my favourite bit. I think I watched nearly all of yours in about 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah, honestly, I love them so much.
I remember when we first started talking, I showed you the Amico one first, and that was the one that hooked you, wasn't it?
The Amico stuff, I was at the time was fascinated by the whole Tommy Tallarico, this console that is vaporware, and the kind of scammy elements of him, and it continues.
Yeah.
How do you find it? Do people tell you about them? Do you go trawling through?
It's all over the place. It used to be a lot easier because the in the early days of doing Kickscammer, there was lists, like the worst Kickscammers. Yeah. So it was quite easy to find them. I went, oh, here's an interesting one. Let me do a video about that. Let me dig deeper into that particular Kickscammer. But nowadays, it's literally pointless. Every 6 months or so, I'll do it. I'll go to Google and I will type in worst Kickstarters, worst Indiegogos, and I will just find the same ones over and over for about 5 pages. So I just can't do that anymore. I have got groups of people in my Discord that constantly suggest stuff. I do get people emailing all the time, unfortunately, and please continue doing that if you're listening, people. But 9 times out of 10, it's someone saying, I got this game. It's not as good as I thought it was going to be. And I'm like, well, that's not really a kick scammer.
Yeah.
Plus, another hard thing nowadays is I don't really like doing the story and then they ran away with your money. As good as that is, it's been done, and I've done 100 videos, so that story's been told a lot.
Yeah.
I really need something with a good angle to tell as a story. The Amico one, there were so many angles with that one, for instance. There is no answer. They're all over the place.
Go and have a look at Slopes' Amico story video.
Yeah, the Amico scandal.
And then once you get a sniff of that story, that is one hell of a rabbit hole to go down. There's so many other videos. H. Bomber Guy did one specifically about Tallarico, covered it. And there's so many. Do you have beef with any other YouTubers? And the reason I ask that is the English scene is very different. The retro English scene, British scene, excuse me, is very different to the American retro scene. The British one seems quite supportive with, there's a few a-holes in there. There always is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the American scene is primarily based on beef. And a lot of these YouTubers will spend half the video talking about retro games and news and the other half going, well, this guy, Steve 8-bit. No, not him, because that's actually someone called 8-bit guy. I'm not referring to him, but they will name someone and go, well, they've been slagging me off on their video. So I just want to set the record straight.
It's a very angry
world.
There is a lot of it. I try my best to stay out of it, but obviously you do get sucked in from time to time.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way in the past. Being friendly with absolutely every single person, whether they're right or wrong, isn't the best way to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to say names, but out of everyone I've ever messaged, there are a couple of, like you say, bad eggs in the UK scene, without a doubt. I'm sure people know who we're talking about with that. But on the American scene, there's only really been two people at most that I've reached out to. And I've spoken to practically everyone besides Angry Video Game Nerd. I've not had the opportunity yet.
Yeah.
But everyone else, I mean, Metal Jesus Rocks, all these people, I've either briefly spoken to these people or actually had lengthy conversations. Everyone seems cool.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, I don't seem to have much beef with anyone, if I'm honest. Good. I try not to.
Yeah. We're coming to the end, but I want to talk about the community, because one of the great things of making stuff, podcasts, videos, Patreons, whatever it is, and I've had experience of this myself, is you kind of create a community, or a community is attracted to you. I'm guessing you have a community. You have a lot of support and encouragement from people.
Oh, it's always, they're the 1%. As people say in like marketing world or whatever else, but yeah, they're the 1%, and it's insane for me. I've got real world friends that I've known before I got into YouTube, and you try and tell them about, oh, did you know about the ET carts in the desert or whatever weird little history fact you go, and yet they're just not interested.
Yeah.
Which is fine, they're not interested. But you go online and you put these videos out, and people are interested, and you find a community, and that's like the good side of the internet.
Yeah,
These people will come and reach you, and they're telling you stories and stuff, and then you're sharing information together. I've become stupidly more knowledgeable on the history of retro gaming and stuff like that because of the community. Yeah, it's awesome.
I always ask this, you can hear my washing machine in the background. That's how real this is. I always ask guests where people can find out more about them. And then I always think, well, you can just Google these days. It's we're some distance away from the websites. However,
HTTPS,
we did that on a radio show. I was hosting a BBC local radio show, and I think it was an old boy phoned up and said, can I promote this charity? I mean, yeah, sure. He said, can I give out the website? I went, yeah. And he did it so slowly. He went HTT and he did the whole thing like that. And I was pissing myself. And at the end, I went, could you just say that one more time for people that might have missed it? And he did it again. But you have got a lot going on. You've got the Patreon, got the YouTube. So give us some of the places we can go to find out more, what we need to type in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The best place to go is just to Google. But obviously my main home is on YouTube. Go check out Slopes Game Room. Yeah. And you'll be able to find out the channel from there. I'm also starting to push a bit more now on places like TikTok. I know that's not everyone's flavor, but hey, it's the Wild West over on TikTok. You can go and tell people that Doki Doki Panic is actually Super Mario Brothers, and it'll be brand new information. So
I saw you doing. I was sneakily hiding in the background watching you do a live stream the other day on TikTok. I've had to delete TikTok because if Twitter is cocaine, then TikTok is crack. I could spend an hour flicking through the lives.
Oh yeah,
and I was making. I was enjoying myself. People were like criticizing me, and I was making faux angry videos where I go, how dare you say that about me, unfollow me, and I was having a laugh, but I found it too addictive for me. It's a dangerous place.
Maybe you should get back on there, because I'm not joking, over the last week, and I don't like log into TikTok daily, but every other day or so when I go on TikTok, at the top of my TikTok is your face saying saying follow you, or saying has followed you or something like that,
right?
Something Ian videos, I think you were called.
I've got two, but yeah, radio Ian Lee Radio is the kind of one where I was having pretend beef.
Oh yeah, you were constantly on the top, and even after following, like I was still getting the message like, has followed you. I know he's followed me. I see it every time I go on. Like, they so really sorry. Like you. Really,
well, maybe I'll go back. So go and look for Slopes. Go and look for DJ Slopes online. And I promise you will not be disappointed. Thank you so much, man. I'm so pleased that we bumped into each other and met each other at that event in Blackpool, because your videos have brought me so much joy. I mean that.
Oh, for sure. It's great knowing you as well, because normally when I tell people like, oh, do you know insert retro gaming YouTuber here, they're like, no. But when I said I'm going to be doing chatting to Ian Lee, like, oh, I know Ian.
That guy, I used to like him. I'm just going to acknowledge my Patreons, if that's all right. I want to say thank you to Martin Warren, to Craig Hannon, to Sean Hughes and to Harsh Singh. And the executive producers are going to get the salute. You're getting the salute. And those salutes go to Andy Goss, Tim Nichols and Mark Gidley. Thank you so much for your support. DJ Slopes, it's been an absolute gas. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much, buddy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.